Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Prophetess Nadia. I am hosting the show, running the switchboard for you all. You sure should be ready to go. Light should be placed right now.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again? I couldn't hear. You said Prophetess
Nadia, I am standing in for Prophet Faith
okay.
Walker.
Okay.
And so yes, Eagles are playing right now, and you all are ready to go.
Okay, so we just go ahead and start.
Eagles on flight. Eagles on flight is playing right now, so that's what
okay.
everybody should be hearing. And then once you hear the applause, you're ready to roll.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon. Praise God. Glory to God. We thank God for his power and his anointing and his presence. We thank God for this day, for just bringing us to this point. If you're out there and you've had a long Sunday, we give glory and honor to the Lord just for this being a blessed Sunday on today in the name of Jesus. We welcome you to Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophetess Selena Dupree. We give God praise and glory just for being able to be in your presence and to just minister to God's precious people. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we just give you praise. We give you glory and honor. We come before you right now, Lord God, with just worship. And we adore you, Father, just because of who you are. We adore you because of what you've done in our lives. We give you praise and we give you glory because you're so wonderful and you're so awesome and you're so mighty. Thank you so much, God, because of your awesome power, your awesome might. We thank you, Lord, for the ears of the hearers today, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you anoint their ears to hear your word, to just be in your presence right now. And Father, we bind anything that would cause your people to be distracted, to be disrupted, to be disturbed from hearing your word today. And Lord, we bind it up now in Jesus' name, and we loose the power of peace, the power of the Holy Spirit in whatever atmosphere your people are listening to this word, whether they're at home, whether they're in their cars or at work or just spending some time alone, if they're on their computers. Lord, we just thank you right now for the peace of the Holy Spirit just being round about them, Lord God, so that they're able to freely hear your word. We thank you, Father, that you give us liberty, freedom in the word of God. And Lord, we thank you right now that your people will be able to not just hear, be hearers of your word tonight, but Lord, when it's all said and done, that they will go forth and be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love us so very much, God, and you care so much about us until you think of us often, and that when you bring your word forward, when you bring your word to us, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that when you do this, Lord God, that you have us in mind as your word goes forth. So thank you for the prophetic word that shall go forth, and in this one word that many lives will be changed, many lives will be transformed, many prayers will be answered in the name of Jesus. And through this one word, your people will be edified. They'll be blessed in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we even believe, Lord, that it'll take some people on a spiritual level like they've never been before in the name of Jesus. Thank you for lifting your people up and taking them on a spiritual flight in the name of Jesus so that they're able, Lord God, to carry on and go on this journey with you here on earth successfully in the name of Jesus. That, Lord God, no matter what, that when they hear this word and they do what you said according to your plan and your will and the purpose for their lives, Lord Jesus, it will take them on a different spiritual journey. It will cause them to be more intimate with you, more close with you, and understand you as our Lord and Savior even better, Lord God, understanding your character and understanding who you are, Lord God, so that they're able to have a discerning spirit that when the enemy tries to come in with falseness and fakeness, Lord God, that they'll be easy to identify who the enemy is so that they are not tricked, they are not bamboozled or run amok by Satan, Lord God. But, Lord, that they'll be able to identify him, cast him down in the name of Jesus. Anything that he brings that tries to exalt itself above your knowledge, Lord God, that your people will cast it down in the name of Jesus. And they will stand up within themselves from the inside out and walk in their rightful place as king's kids, as born-again believers that have been bought with a price, being the head in every situation and not the tail, being on the top and not the bottom, but, Lord God, having the authority that you've given us in the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus, and recognizing that here on earth, we operate under diplomatic immunity in the name of Jesus because our citizenship, once we're born again, is in heaven. And those things that would move men on this earth and in this earthly realm, Lord God, do not move us because we operate under another authority, a better authority, authority by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we walk in our newness of life and as we walk according to your plan and as we walk according to your will, that we know who we are and whose we are, that we recognize the greater one lives on the inside of us in the name of Jesus. And your name and your word are awesome and great, and it gives us the power and the anointing and the ability to do everything that you have ordained for us to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you give us strength on a daily basis to walk in your grace and your mercy and your power in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we just thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for this time, for this hour of fellowship in your word. And Lord God, we just praise you that you anoint this word, that we will be able to go deep and uncover the mysteries in the gospel. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise your name. All right, we're going to start today. Hallelujah. Glory to God in 1 Samuel. Glory to God. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to start at verse 11, and we're going to read on down to, we'll just start at verse 11. We'll just start at, oh, okay, we're going to do 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 11. Let's do that. All right. And I'm going to read for you, and I'm reading it from the King James Version tonight. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah in Ephedamin. And Saul, the men of Israel, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistine stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
Amen. Glory to God. You see from the scriptures right here, amen, as we look at these verses, we see in the verse 11, and reading verse 11 again, and I'll be reading from the NIV, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. That's the NIV version, but in the King James says greatly afraid. We come tonight just to encourage your hearts. Don't miss your moment because of fear. Don't miss your moment of promotion. Don't miss your moment of prosperity. Don't miss your moment of deliverance. Don't miss your moment because of fear. As we know, fear has been designed to terrify you, dismantle you, to break you down, to stop you, literally stop you, frustrate you, and just cause you to back away from what seems like a challenge, but then at the same time, there's a blessing on the other side. Here it is, this Philistine, a giant, literally a giant who these men are facing, who's challenged them. To step up to the plate, to challenge Israel to step up to the plate. And so he has a big army behind Goliath, but at the same time, he said, I don't need the whole army, but just send me amen. Amen. For those who need to call in, you know, the number is 347-945. 5416. Glory to God. But amen, just to give you that quick note, but amen, you know, fear may try to come at you all kinds of different ways, and we have to fix our hearts to stand. Regardless of how this challenge may come in life, understand every opportunity for there to be faith, every opportunity that we have to go forth in a new thing or to excel. Fear is going to try and bring about his head and try to show up and try to cause you to step down. Now here, if we see there's an opportunity for Israel to overcome Philistines, but they just need one man, need someone to face up to Goliath. Your Goliath may be your boss on the job. Your Goliath may be a person on your job. Your Goliath may be a physical condition. Your Goliath may be a health issue. Your Goliath could be going back to school, glorious guy, you've probably been out of school 20 plus years. Your Goliath could be anything. Your Goliath could just be you, believe it or not. Amen. But we cannot allow Goliath to steal our heart. We cannot allow Goliath to limit us to what we should be blessed with or how much we can be blessed or even should we go forward and prosper. You know, the enemy is going to always take a chance or stab at charters, cause you to be bound up or to be shut down. Of course, he don't want you to prosper, so he's going to always try to bring away. But here we see the scriptures where they're faced with this challenge in Goliath. But he says, send him a man. He sends the challenge right out clearly. Send him a man. And he was speaking to men of stature, you know. Now, verse 12 says, now David was the son of Ephrathite, named Jesse, and who was the was from Bethlehem in Judea. Jesse had 8 sons. And in Saul's time, he was very old. Now, you see in this verse here, Jesse had 8 sons. Now, this is the same David that when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king, this is the same David that was overlooked by his own father. This is the same one that when he said, well, bring on your sons, he brought 7 sons and left David out keeping the sheep. Didn't even consider David to be one anointed as king. In the same way, when Samuel went to the first son and looked at his stature and his size, he said, surely he would be the king. God said, no. I have rejected him. His heart was not right. His heart. See, sometimes we look at people, we size people up and thinking, surely, well, they probably deserve this better than I do. And surely, yeah, they got all the qualifications. And, you know, and God says the key thing, man looks at the outer appearance, but I look at the heart. Many times we've sized ourselves out of our blessings. Many times we've sized up our situation, and we count ourselves out before we ever get started. How many times have we shortchanged ourselves in this lifetime? As we look here, Israel is shocked. They're just in. They were greatly afraid. Greatly afraid. Not just afraid. They were greatly. They were shipless. They were just stuck. They're just shocked. Didn't even give themselves a chance. And really, if you think about it, they probably all numbered. But just because of one man who was a giant, it brought about fear upon their heart because he was abnormal, because he was bigger than the normal man. But glory to God. So it's a good point of seeing that. Amen.
We have to be careful, too, of things that seem like, let's face it, Goliath was a bully because in his sight, he was bigger and better than everyone else. So he always put up a challenge because he was a bully. And we have to be careful of those things that present themselves as bullies in our life. You know, as adults, normally we're not in a situation that would look like a bullying situation. When we hear bullying now, we think of middle school kids, elementary kids, high school kids. We don't think of ourselves as adults as getting bullied in most instances. But in actuality, the enemy can use things that we can't see, those silent fears on the inside of you to create bullying situations. And so he presents those things to be bigger, better, larger than you, and we believe it. We actually take it within ourselves to believe that those situations that present themselves in our lives are bigger, better, stronger than who God has created us to be. And it not only imparts fear, but you end up being in a bullying type situation because you won't fight back because you don't feel you're worth it or you don't have the energy or you don't have the strength or you don't have the means to fight back because in bullying situations, that's what you see. I've even seen where smaller kids bully bigger kids because that bigger kid has the difference between them two is mental. It's just mental. That smaller kid, even though he's smaller, for some reason, in his mind, he believes that he is greater, bigger, better than that bigger kid. And so there are situations in our life that God has actually delivered us from one time before, and we've allowed ourselves to be bullied back to believing that we can't conquer that thing anymore.
Yes.
You've actually gotten over that, and God showed you where you were because of the greater one living on the inside of you. You did conquer that thing. And through time, you didn't have to face it anymore. You didn't have to deal with it anymore. Well, let me tell you, this is something that I hear my husband say often. If I have never smoked crack, and I am not addicted to crack, I've never been addicted to crack, that is one thing that the enemy cannot bring to me and try to tempt me with, because I have no desire for it. But someone that has been down that road, they could have been delivered for 20 years. At some point, the enemy is going to try to present that thing from time to time just to see if you are still enticed
yes.
by that thing. And so when we're talking about fear and the enemy, you know, causing you to be in this bullying situation, you could have conquered something years ago and you didn't see it. But don't be fooled. The enemy is going to try you again with that thing. And what's happened in some instances is that you didn't see it for a long time. You were over it, but you really never, you know, used the word of God to keep yourself up on that thing. And now the enemy comes and you find yourself back in that same situation that you were in years and years ago, afraid and not able to conquer it. And so it's because you've been presented with this thing again by the enemy, but your guards are down, your barriers are down, and you don't know how to get out of the situation. Well, God wants you to know that he is greater. It's the Bible tells us greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, and you can conquer anything. You can stand up to anything. In this particular instance, Goliath literally was, he was not only a bully, but he had the statue of someone greater than David. The fight looked unfair and impossible because of David's physical statue. But God is able to even take in, like he said, those areas where it appears that you are just totally unqualified. It appears that you will not win this thing by the natural eye. God is able to take that and flip that thing around so that it isn't what it looks like.
Amen. And that number to call in once again is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, and press 1 to get to the question box. But amen. So, yeah, so we see here, yeah, let's go to verse 20. Let's pick up there. I've got to skip around. Verse 20 says, "And David arose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went, and as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shout for the battle. For Israel and Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brother. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and was sore afraid." Once again, you know, the enemy sometimes can have a louder bite than bark. I mean, bark than bite. And sometimes, you know, he may, like Psalm 23 tells us, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We get caught up sometimes by the shadow. It's not even the real thing. You know, the enemy blowing a bunch of steam, you know, trying to sound stronger than what he really is, because he's trying to get you to believe and or bite his bait. And sometimes, you know, when the enemy try to do this, he try to lure you off track and get you to go into fear. And when you get into fear, it's kind of hard. It's going to be hard to operate. Faith and fear cannot work together. So let's go to this pick of verse 25. "And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father house free in Israel. Amen. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done? See, David's attention was caught. He's a whole one now. What shall be done to the man that killed the Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is that? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of Israel, the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to that man that killed them. Okay, so here we see the next verse that his brother gives sets for him. We're going to slide on to verse 30. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. See, that's going to show you we have to be mindful as believers. We never know when our moment is going to come. We never know who's listening at the right time in the right place. That's why it's a dangerous thing for us to be double-speaking Christians. In one moment we speak in faith, next moment we speak in fear. You know, because we never know who's listening or what's about to happen at the right given time. And sometimes we can talk ourselves right into a blessing, and sometimes we can talk ourselves right on out. So just like that, you have to be mindful of what you say, how you speak, what you entertain or take into your heart, your eye gate, your ear gate, even what you allow, what you begin to allow yourself to speak idly. You know, we're going to be held accountable for every idle word to speak. We have to be mindful of what we're putting into the atmosphere. And, you know, sometimes when we look at our situations, the enemy likes to play with images with us, with our minds, and making things look so much worse than what it is. And he will pump things up, make things look so bad. He's trying to lure you into speaking against your own self or speaking against or creating something that's not really there. He may have a situation that may look tragic or looks really worse than whatever he is, and the only thing he's getting you to do is begin to speak negativity against yourself. And he, you know, sometimes people begin to say, oh, I'm so sick. And I mean, you may have a little small ache, but if you know, after a while, you start saying, oh, I'm sick so much, so now you're really sick. You know, things really escalated even more. So, you know, even that, the enemy likes to try to play tricks with the mind. Once you get, well, even like you said before, the battle of the mind is the battlefield. There's some things we have to overcome with our mind. Verse 31, and when the words were heard, then David spake, okay, verse 32, and verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Now, David stepped up to the plate. He stood in his moment when no one else would. And these are grown men, probably well-seasoned in the army, well-seasoned in battle through the years. But at that moment, it did not matter because when it came down to the opposition of Goliath, David did not step up to the plate. They took one look at him and said, oh, no, not me. This battle is not mine. And they passed, you know, so... it is, David realized, well, hold on, who's the God I serve? He really checked himself. And this thing is, the Goliath that we face in life is going to make us check ourselves. Because you have to ask yourself questions, okay, what's going on here? Am I able to take this thing? What's going on? Can I even handle this? I want to say this, if God allowed it to come into your life, and especially if you're on the right path, if you are in the will of God, I see how to stress it like that. If you are in the will of God, walking the pathway that God has called you to walk, you know that you're in your position and where you need to be, and you face a Goliath, trust you me, that was part of the plan that you have to face. David was going to match up with Goliath sooner or later. So I say that to you. You're going to have to face your Goliath. You can try to run, try to hide, try to duck, dodge, bob and weave. Sooner or later, you're going to have to face that Goliath. As much as you don't want, some of us don't like confrontation. Some of us don't like to deal with stuff. And that's another reason why God let certain things see. That's why sometimes God allowed multiples to begin to happen, because he's trying to get you to be able to step up and deal with stuff. It's easier to kind of put some of the back burner and say and avoid it, but sooner or later you will have to face it. And so, you know, you might have been forced to deal with the last time. God said, no, that's not enough for me. I need you to be broken of this habit. I need you to be broken of this thing. So he's going to allow you to come back around again just to get you to change your paradigm, shifting your mindset in the way you do things. Glory to God. Amen. So once again, that number calls 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Glory to God. All right, we're going to go a little further here. Let's go slide on down. So David is telling him to let no man's heart fail. Okay? And verse 33 says, as Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man, he's a man of war from his youth. Now, this is the thing, this is the key thing when it comes to your Goliath. You got to listen. Whose report are you going to believe? Many times, people are going to tell you stuff based on their experiences, based on their opinion, based on what they think. Well, someone may clearly say, well, I never seen him accomplish that, what you're talking about doing. What does that have to do with me? Just because you never seen it, you might be watching to see it for the first time. But if I listen to that, I will allow you to talk me out of my moment. Don't miss your moment. Don't allow someone to talk you out of your moment. Just because it may have never been done, guess what? God is trying to set you up to be the first one. Don't let fear, or because someone else may not have seen or experienced it before. That's their testimony. It shouldn't have to be yours. Sometimes things won't happen until you speak up. Sometimes things won't happen until you step up. Sometimes things won't happen until you finish do the job. God knew the man was blind from his youth, and his disciples asked him. He said, who sinned? Was it him? Was it the parents who sinned? And Jesus said, none of them sinned. This thing is going to be unto the glory of God. You don't know. You may wonder why certain things are happening in your life. It was nothing you did. Just for the fact that if you were a chosen one, the one that God has selected to embrace this moment in order for you to overcome it. And it's just like you said, this moment is for you. It's going to bring glory to God. And sometimes we just talk ourselves out of the blessing of God, set the table, all that you got to do is show up. And here's someone tell you, man, I don't think you should do that. I don't know. I never see you go in there like that. I don't know. Certain things supposed to happen. And just because certain things didn't happen on your pathway, didn't happen on someone else's pathway, we let them talk us out of it. But point blank, you could have had the favor to what God said. You don't need to do all of that. I'm going to bring you straight on in without all of that stuff. That's how favor with God works. Where some people had to do certain things, you may not have to do nothing. Just for the fact of the matter is, but God has chosen you. You are chosen. There's no questions asked. When God has selected you, you are the one. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Yes, and when you think about that being chosen situation with God, there's a reason and a purpose that you were selected for that specific thing. I mean, just think about it. David, I mean, the Philistine didn't just grow up yesterday and all of a sudden appear. He's been a part of that army. The man said from his youth he's been in war. He didn't just get that big just yesterday. He was big like that for a long time. And there were many Israelites, and there were many other Philistines. There were many men that were amongst him all this time. and yet the years actually awaited for David, because there are certain things that have to be done in this earth realm and certain people that have to be contacted or connected with in this earth realm, and the only person that can do it is you. The only person that is able to complete those tasks and conquer the enemy in certain areas is you, because God has ordained it in that time, in that season, for you to do it. There are things that aren't going to get done in your community unless you do it, because it's been ordained for you to do it. But you being afraid and not facing whatever the Lord is instructing you to do is not going to get it done. And you don't want to miss that season. You don't want to miss that moment. You don't want to miss that time, because it is not just an opportunity for you to let the glory of God shine through you, but it's an opportunity for you to show Jesus, for you to do exactly what he's told us to do in the Great Commission, to go out into the world and preach the good news. It's an opportunity for you to win souls, because some people are not going to come to Christ unless they see a demonstration. They're not coming. Signs and wonders are not for those of us that believe. We believe and don't see, and that's how it's supposed to be. The signs and wonders are really for those who don't believe, because they're not there with us yet. And in order for them to even come to Christ, they're going to have to see a sign and a wonder. They're going to have to see that this is what it is. Jesus healed countless people that didn't get their life, that didn't believe on him until after the healing, when they realized that, you know what, this is a man of God. This is power. This is great. You know, they didn't say yes to God until afterwards. And so there are things that have to get done in this earth, and it's designed, it's ordained, it's the season for you to do it. And fearing those whatever hang-ups that we have and not getting those things completed, or not being the example for the body of Christ, is holding up some things that the Lord has for you. It's holding up your next level. It's holding up your elevation. Because we'll keep reading and we'll learn that through this, David was elevated. But had he not done that, he would have missed his opportunity for that elevation. Amen.
Amen. First 3-4 says that David, the number to call in is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, and just press 1 to get in the question box. Now, we just looking at verse 34, and David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept thy sheep, his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and it took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and he arose against me. I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, saying, he hath defied the armies of the living God." Now, David had to show, okay, so for Saul, after Saul said what he said, David had to let him know, look here, I'm not just because he was a man of war since his youth. Well, I've had some battles to fight too. And sometimes in those moments when you're facing your Goliath, you have to remember God's resume in your life. Remember when you thought you was about to go down, a sickness got hold of you, and you didn't know how you was going to come out of that thing, and how God healed you and he brought you out. Remember the time where you were looking at the kids where things were getting really bad, the problem was about to lose everything, but God stepped in and brought you out. That was the Goliath that you had to deal with. See, David had the lion and the bear to work up to the Goliath. So see, if you look at those things that you've been through already, that was training to bring you to the point of your Goliath right now. See, that's why when we go through, we have to go through with the right attitude, and not be a solid living when we go through. Look at your challenges, and you know, even James chapter 1 tells, you know, count it on joy when you fall into our temptation. You know, when things are coming, these different trials and tribulations are coming at you, count it on joy, because God knew you could handle it before he actually came. He knew that you had the victory. God allowed the prophet to come into your life, he knew you were well able. God would not allow it to come in your life to handle it. I firmly believe that. And I know. Yes, he said you're not allowed to bear. You can bear. So if he knew you could bear it, you think you trust me, you can stand it. Glory to God. So embrace that. So he rehearsed to Saul his God's resume in his life, far as the things that he's done. And he told him, this uncircumcised will see, he'd be well, he'd be like, put it out. I'll take him out just to say it too. Glory to God. So we're moving on. All right. We're going to go to Psalm verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. Now, this is a key thing. Okay, let's go a little further. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assessed it, and he assessed it, and he had not proved it. Very key, he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Listen, mama them, auntie them, testimony, that works good for them. It can't work for you. You have to go by what God has done in your life. Because what mama has been at and grandma, that's been their work. It's an encouragement to let you know that you come from the lineage of overcomers. But when it comes down to it, what do you have in your wallet? What do you have in your big thing? See, it comes down to where you stand. You have to know where you stand and work where you stand. Many times we try to run off someone else's stage, and we run out of gas along the way because we didn't have enough attention. We weren't running from where we were. We were running from where someone else was. You must do what you know to do. For instance, you may be one know that you, okay, when it comes to certain things, like some of those temptations, we know, okay, once again, crack cocaine, that probably never made you before because you've never been through it. Fine, great. So you might can go to a crack neighborhood and tell, with someone and be effective. Then, someone else who may have been, but may not have been fully delivered or not even strong enough yet to stand and to be in the presence of that without getting weak. See, so you can't go off someone else. You got to know where you are. And so, but then, on the other hand, if you convict them, done that, overcome that, and now God has empowered you to go back to people. See, you have to go operate with your spirit of living, for faith, where you are. Don't try to rob someone else's, use someone else's armor. You can't win with someone else's armor like that. Amen. David knew, look, I ain't never come to no armor. I have never proven this thing. I'm going to get myself killed. I don't know how to use a sword like this and that. David knew how to use the weapons that he used around the sheep, protecting the sheep, and around home. You know, he knew what he was able to do. And that's what I give David that credit, that he was able to speak up. How many of us, if that would have happened to us, because it's the king, because the king put his arm on you, how many of you would let him send you into suicide? How many of you would have tried to run off when he's giving you versus standing with God has already given you? See, David had to stay within his sphere of operation. He knew good and well this armor and stuff, that's not my deal. Let me go on what I know. I know my prayer life. I know when I fast and pray for 3 days, I know how I operate. Someone may pray, they might fast and pray for a whole 7 days. Well, you may not be there yet. Work for where you are and be effective for where you are. All right. Glory to God. We're going to go a little further. Amen. As we see here, so we're going to move on to, so he had not proven, he had taken it off. And he took, now in verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his strip, and his sling was in his hand. See, that's what David knew. David knew the sling. David knew how to use the 5 stone. David knew how to use the staff, even the strip. He knew how to use the sling in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. All right. And well, once again, the number to call in is 347-945-545. 1-6-347-945-545. 1-6. Press 1 to get in the question box. Amen. All right, so he went on a little further. And, and David, verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. Okay, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he didn't stand him. And he was about a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Or the NIV says, he looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And verse 14 says, and he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me 6? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. And David said to the Philistine, you come against the sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of all of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Now, question. Did David have a knife? David didn't have a knife. David, the only thing he had is a spear. He had a spear. He had the fire stones and the sling in the back, in the script. So he didn't have a knife. But David told him, I'm cutting off your head. Sometimes you have to act like that man, that woman that goes to the jailhouse. And the first thing they do is find the biggest person and go to and smack them. That's how people say. I never experienced that. I'm saying. So, but, they say they'll find the biggest person and they go hit them. Just send a message to someone else. People think, that man is crazy. So, sometimes we have to do do some things that a little bit different to throw the enemy off. Sometimes when things are going bad, or crazy, begin to bring out your praise. Begin to trim up the enemy. Okay, as we move on further. Okay, as David's house got closer to the temple, verse 48, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reached into his bag and took out a smooth stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his head, and he fell down, face down. He fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without his sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. Now once again, David said, "I'm going to cut your head off." David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with a sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. See, David didn't wait for everything, the conditions all, for everything to be perfect for him to strike or attack. Sometimes you gotta attack when things look crazy. Sometimes you gotta go on in, begin to pray like you never prayed. See, fast, turn that plate down and go in like you never gone before. Read that word, eat that word like you never eaten before. You have to do, if you want miraculous results, you have to do miraculous things. You have to do the thing that's gonna be out of the box, out of the norm. You have to go in. And David approached him because he was confident. David did not measure Goliath according to himself. He measured Goliath according to his God. And he knew that he measured to God, he didn't have a chance. And he was able to stand strong in the power of God and to accomplish that, knocking off Goliath, taking his life, and taking his head off. And that's a bad thing because he told him, I'm going to cut your head off. Goliath laughed inside. Please. So, come on. it is. So, but praise God. But we got to know who we're standing before. We have to know this is how we should stand every day in our life when it comes to the challenges of life. Yes, they have a challenging moment. They have a little challenging time. But don't give the devil the whole day. Don't say, I'm having a bad day. No more bad days. He don't deserve to have the day. We giving him, oh, we having a bad week. It's really, he's not worth all of that. And he's not even that good. But you have, because you want to change your attitude about your day and your week, that's why things seem to be like a domino effect one day into another. See, sometimes things might not change, but you change. When you change, your life changes because, oh, God. Like the scripture says, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. When you have fixed your heart to stand and to be a certain way and in a certain place in God, no matter what comes your way, you will not be stopped. We have to be just that vigilant to stand on God's word. We have to be need to have that pit bull faith. Lock up. Won't let go until you ready to let go. And you won't let go until God bless you like Jacob. You have to be just that tenacious. You have to be that relentless and not quit, not give up, not back down. Sometimes I'll back down too easy from the enemy. He brought you to one time, you pulled up. No, stand up, walk back. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to do that in order to send a message to the enemy. You got a bite, I got a bite. All God's children got a bite. Glory to him. So, amen, you got to show them. You will circle upon God. Our God is real, and he empowers us to have victory. So, amen. So, glory to God. We're going to stop right there. Glory to God. God be the glory. Amen. So, well, once again, be encouraged. Don't miss your moment because of fear. Don't let fear cause you to miss your moment and miss your time. Arise to the occasion. You are well able to take it. You are well able to get it and also to get it done. Be encouraged tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Glory to God. I want to also encourage anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Amen. We're going to give you this prayer. Amen. As you pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for each and every one of us. Anyone that's here right now that does not know you as Lord and Savior, we also pray this prayer for them right now. Repeat after me, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for being a sinner. Forgive me, I'm a sinner. I need you. I can't do this by myself. I surrender all. I give you my heart. I believe Jesus died on the cross, and he rose the third day for me. Lord, I need you. Come in. Sit on the throne of my heart. Now, sit in my heart, not only as my Savior, but also my Lord. I receive you now in Jesus' name. And for those who fall away from the Lord, may the Lord restore you. Father, forgive me for my sins. I've gone to be falling away. Lord, restore me. That's your fellowship. I surrender all to you, Lord. Come in. Connect me again to your love. And Lord, I thank you for helping me and keeping me that I stand. Thank you for restoring me my faith unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, thank you for each and every one who's listening on the sound of my voice. Thank you that they've been blessed tonight with your word and your presence. Thank you, Lord, for touching them and causing them not to allow themselves to miss that moment divinely set for them to prosper and to go forth into a new thing. So, Father, we thank you that they would not miss your moment because of fear, but they should walk forth and stand forth and go in with faith in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for you displaying your presence and your power tonight. Jesus, matchless name, we bind up every word for the enemy that should not prosper in their lives. We call them to be free. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you all tonight for being on with us, Eagles, Wings, and Flight. We thank, Eagles and Flight Fellowship. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you for what you have, even for just taking time out tonight to listen and receive the word. Amen. We encourage you to join us. Amen. join us at Eagle Springs International Ministries on Sundays and Tuesday nights. Sundays at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Tuesday 7:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as well. And the number to call is 843-619-0410. Amen. Join us. The number again is 843-619-0410. Eagles Wings International Ministries. Amen. We welcome you to join us and fellowship with us. And once again, join us back here on next Sunday evening, the same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and as we go and break the bread of life. Thank you very much, and God bless you all. Amen.